Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Why don't you respond to an email?
Second of all, you guys, I'm being harassed. I'm going to call 911. My lawyer will be dealing with you.
Woo! Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. That was a clip from this week's Vanderpump Rules. They were at Allie and James's house, and I'm curious, actually, from production, if they had to cut anything, because it was such a thrilling episode. I would imagine they didn't want to cut anything, but you got to remember that the planes were flying overhead in the Burbank house, because they live right by the airport. And so I do wonder, did we lose any footage? I don't know. Will it appear on Peacock? Was there an audio issue for anything? Because I wanted to see every last moment of that time they were at Allie and James's house, because it was thrilling TV. And what I'm about to say is going to get me in some trouble, and I know you're all going to get mad, and I've been Team Ariana this whole time, and I'm still, quite frankly, Team Ariana. However, this was the first week where I did feel, I'm sorry, don't yell at me. Don't yell at me in the DMs. I'm just trying to give my honest opinion. It was the first week where I did feel a little bit bad for that demon. I did. I'm sorry. I did feel a little bit bad for that demon, Tom. I did. It's my truth, and I certainly don't think she should be calling the police at Allie and James' house. I don't even know if 911 dispatcher can hear her over the sounds from the planes overhead, but certainly I don't think that it called for the police to come to Allie and James' house, because there were plenty of people there that could have facilitated, that Brock and them guys could have stood up and separated them or something, because I don't think that we needed to get the police involved. I know it reminds me of The Real Housewives of Orange County, or season one tagline. It's like, are the police here? What was, what was her tagline about the police?
Are the police involved?
But anyway, we do not need to call the police for items or things happening like that. So we don't need the Burbank police on the lot. So I just want to say that. But look, she's got a lot of rage. And you know I love a gal filled with rage. I mean, I'm a Dorinda Medley stan. No one better at that than her. And so I get it on some level. And this was certainly after the breakup. So I get that. She's very upset. And at least they're filming together. And so for the show, I think it is good to help move forward. And maybe getting some of this out will help the show move forward as well. Because then the next time they're in a room together or something, maybe it won't be so bad. But I did feel there were just a couple things that made me feel I didn't like the dog murder thing. Because I also, you know, I seen on last week on the show, there is some level of responsibility, I think, when you're leaving out, and I do apologize, last week on the show, I kept saying the chicken bones, but apparently it was chicken skewers or skewers from some sort of, like, I don't know the exact meal that she got from the takeout, but there was some sort of wooden skewers or something that Maya had ingested. And certainly he shouldn't, now I'm finding out that he locked the dog in the room, which is also fucking crazy. Like, why did he lock the dog in the room? I don't understand that. But anyway, I do think it's some level of responsibility when you're leaving out food and stuff like that with an animal in the house. And it's a complicated situation, but I don't know that Tom was purposely trying to murder an animal. And so I just felt a little bit bad in that way. And also, even at the house, God, I hate sticking up for that demon. I do. I feel bad, you guys, but it's my truth. I was watching this episode. And I don't know. I also sort of understood Sheena and Lala a little bit more, which is not going to be a popular opinion, because I think by and large, Sheena and Lala should have had Ariana's back up until this point a little bit more. But then I'm thinking maybe behind the scenes, there's other things happening that I don't know. I know. Let's go back to the beginning, because I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts on, I mean, Summer Moon playing with Play-Doh. I could have watched that forever. I just was watching that young gal play with Play-Doh. I'm like, give her a show. I love her, Summer Moon. And then also at the beginning of the episode, we saw Tom and Joe. Tom and Joe, they were juicing. That's right. They were juicing together. And I do have some concerns for the two of them living in a space together. Does anyone else feel like that's a recipe for disaster? I mean, watching them juice together just felt like maybe they don't have a good handle on this thing called life in general. In general, speaking in generalities. But I just worry that like the apartment's going to blow up or something. You know, I don't know. It just doesn't feel safe. It doesn't feel safe to me with those baby voices they're doing, trying to juice something. And by the way, last week on the show, I was saying Tom Schwartz was at, he got a smoothie with Lala last week on the show. And as he was ordering the smoothie, he was talking at baby talk. And all this week, I went to the, I go to this one place. Sometimes I get a smoothie and I went up to the counter and I was just laughing to myself thinking like, I'm a grown ass man ordering a smoothie. Like, what if I just started ordering in a baby voice like Tom Schwartz did on Vanderpump Rules last week? It really is crazy to be like, I want a smoothie. I would like that smoothie. I like that smoothie. Just thinking, like, how weird to do that, let alone on camera. But now anytime I get a smoothie as an adult man, I'm going to be thinking of Tom Schwartz using a baby voice. And then watching him and Joe juicing in the house together, I just thought, get out. We need a fire department to live next door or something, because I don't trust them two together. I just don't feel like it's safe. Safety first. And I don't think that's safety first. They need an adult in the room, because those two living together seems like a recipe for disaster. What else? At the beginning of the episode, we had Lala getting the booty dimples with Allie and Katie. So it looks like Lala and Katie, I can't tell exactly where they are in their relationship, because it seems like, I don't know if you follow some of the interviews and stuff that are happening off air, but it seems like Lala really is going hard on Katie. But then I see interview clips of Katie in present day, and I'm like, it doesn't seem like she's really that affected by anything. So I'm like, what's the truth here? Who's in the wrong? Who's in the right? I don't know, but it seems like they're friendly on the show at this point. They're doing workouts together, getting the booty dimples. Although Katie says, she's like, I don't feel like fucking working out. And I get that. Sometimes you just don't want to do it. Anyway, they're doing a water tasting, which that actually worried me. Did you guys feel worried about that? And it was a bit of a flop. I know that water tasting was like a big TikTok thing, but I'm not sure that we need to be buying such expensive water. And I also feel like it was all bullshit. I just feel like when people are tasting water, I just don't know that you taste much difference. I just don't. You can all try to pee on my leg and tell me it's raining, but I will not believe it. I just don't believe it. And you, this man is trying to tell me this is only one bottle of this water in the world. And I'm thinking, you know, I watch this network and I buy the drinks that they tell me to buy. Like, I buy the piss water that they're all selling. And so if I'm drinking Vanderpump Rosé, I'm not sure I care so much what's going in my mouth, what kind of liquid is up in there. Do you know what I'm getting? So maybe they're at the wrong audience, this water sommelier or whatever, because the people that are watching Bravo, I'm telling you, the liquids we buy certainly could get us 6 feet under. I mean, I swear, I drink one more bottle of Skinny Girl Marg and I'm just going to explode. My heart's going to stop and then I'm going to be fucked. And so I'm not sure that I really care about $1,000 bottle of water, because I'm drinking the piss water that Bethany Frankel first exposed on The Real Houses of New York. Talking to the wrong audience for water tasting. Also, Lala invited Tom Sandoval, so we know we're going to get everyone together. Now, meanwhile, Zinzabal is at his gym, and they're doing, do you notice when they go to Tom in that little gym room at the house? Every time they do that, they're doing these like crazy camera angles. It's like I'm watching some sort of X Games on ESPN or something, which I've never done before, so I don't even know if that's an accurate comparison. However, it does feel like I'm watching some sort of, they're doing some MTV style weird camera tricks and some rock music. Every time we go into that gym where he's just on the treadmill walking slowly, it's not like he's doing some X Games body flip with a skateboard or something. And they're acting like he's doing some crazy workouts. Meanwhile, Anne is downstairs ready for an interview or something. I do want Anne, I just want the best for Anne, especially learning this week. Did you hear? She picks up Tom Sandoval's socks and underwear. And Ariana says that he wears them multiple times in a row. Multiple times in a row. That's disgusting. That's disgusting. You cannot be doing that, Tom. You need it. I know you might not want to buy new underwear or something. You might want to be saving money.
Saving!
But you certainly need to pick up a new pair of Calvins, because you can't just be... I mean, I can only imagine what those things look and smell like. You got to change that stuff pretty consistently. And any straight guys out there who are listening to this, it may seem unnatural to you to be changing your underwear a bunch of times. It seems like Tom doesn't understand that, maybe. And so just, I got to encourage you. If you are questioning it, that means you just need to change them immediately. If you're sitting out there thinking, you're listening to this, men, women, I don't care who you are. If you're out there listening to Everything Iconic right now and you're thinking, gosh, am I wearing my underwear too long? Let me tell you, you are. That's a sign that you are. And so I don't care how long they've been on. If you're feeling that right now in this moment, you need to pull over, head on into a Kmart and get yourself a pair of Calvins. And you need to change them right in the parking lot. Right in the parking lot and throw that pair away that you're wearing. And make sure you buy a bunch of pairs so that you can keep them in rotation and just be washing them at least every day. You should be putting on a new pair of underwear every single day, bare minimum. And also, that would have been grounds to divorce, I believe, for Ariana. I mean, I know he also slept with her friend while she was at her grandmother's funeral and her dog was having troubles, but I still think that that actually should have been the smoking gun earlier in the relationship. We might not have had this whole scandal thing happen, but I think if your significant other is wearing them undies a bunch of times in a row and you're smelling or you're noticing as a significant other, then if you see something, say something. And so if I see a stain on the undies, I'm saying something.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
So I wish she would have and gotten out of the house at that time. Yeah, but anyway, Anne says she wants to work for an amazing girl boss. She's like, I'm working for a girl boss. Meanwhile, Tom's upstairs and he's listening. He's pissed because his assistant's getting poached. And to that, I say, maybe you need to treat Anne better and wear some new undies. And then maybe she won't be interested in leaving you for the significant other that you cheated on in the house when she was at her grandmother's funeral. So it's just something that maybe you should be aware of. Maybe you should be aware of. Although Ariana in this scene, though I did not care for this episode, I do have to say that that green top she was wearing, the green off-the-shoulder top, to me, that was giving newlyweds on MTV. Like, that was giving me Jessica Simpson early 2000s. I thought, actually, that sort of off-the-shoulder green top was one of the best she's ever looked on this show. I just felt like it was so cute, cozy, and just, I don't know, I thought she looked beautiful. Her hair looked stunning. Her makeup looked stunning. All the gals, really, I think, on this show have had a glow-up since Scandoval. I'm not saying the men have, but the women on this show. Lala had a confessional look later in the episodes, that one with sort of like the sheer black top. She looks better than she's ever looked in that confessional to me. And Katie, there was a moment on the beach where I was like, Katie, like, looked stunning just sitting on that fucking beach. And I think all of the women just, I don't know if they had a glow up, or maybe it's money. Maybe it's just money. I mean, obviously money makes you look good. I mean, that's the secret sauce here. It's just you make a bunch of money and then of course you're going to look better. And so I think eat the rich is what I'm trying to say, because I mean, it's what is that saying? Like, you're not ugly, you're just poor. It's true, because I watch these shows and it happens time and time again. And they got the Scandoval money and they were beautiful before. I'm not saying there were some trolls in Central Park before the Scandoval happened, but certainly when it happened, now I'm looking at all of them like, y'all look like models. I'm like, I need Matt to cheat on me so it makes money. And I don't know, figure that out, because money is what does it, I guess. Money is what does it. They all look great. And Brock looks great too. I guess not all the men, but Brock, I think, did have the glow up too. And then Tom Sandoval, his glow up is really just, he went to a Taylor Swift concert and then decided to dress like all the young gals there, which is, I guess, works for him. By the way, did you guys listen to the new Cowboy Carter, the new Beyonce album? I love it. I love it. You know, I'm a country music fan. I used to work for the Academy of Country Music. I don't know if you guys know that, but I love country. And so hearing Beyonce, some of those songs, she's got a song called Bodyguard. Yaya is a song on there that just makes me feel like explosions, which also leads me to an apology that I should offer all the listeners for last week's show, because I was extra hyper last week on the show. I did get administered a steroid shot, because of a doctor and inflammation in my chest that I had. And so it was something medical. So it was not my fault. It was not optional. However, I maybe shouldn't have done it before recording. Moving on. Okay, so then we have, what else is going on? Anne, we talked about her meeting with Ariana. We see a scene with Sheena and Brock. Sheena and Thighs are sitting at their house, and then Schwartz brings over a plant. And he's always bringing over a plant. And then he also brought over a Do Not Disturb hat for Summer. I was like, what the fuck is Summer Moon going to do with them? Although maybe shouldn't disturb Summer Moon. I mean, she's got Play-Doh to play with. So maybe actually it was a good idea. But Schwartz says he's got baby fever. And he says he'll be a great dad, but I do worry, because again, I'm worried about him in the house with Joe. So I would certainly worry if he was in the house with the child. And so I don't know, maybe he will be, but it does worry me, because just when he was making a smoothie, I thought better get a adult supervisor over there. And so I don't know that I can picture him as the father, but maybe, I don't know, maybe it'll all come differently. Meanwhile, they all do, Sheena does a cold plunge while they're in this scene. And then she's like doing the cold plunge as she yells at Tom and Brock. You know how I feel about the cold plunges. I hate the cold plunges. I don't get it. I think it's enough. I think we're all being bamboozled by the cold plunge industry, and they're trying to trick us and think we all need to do a fucking cold plunge. And we don't. Just stick your face into some water, just in a bowl. That's a, my mom used to do that. Whether you were sick or not, she would put her face in ice sometimes. And then when she was sick, a lot of times she'd steam water, and then she'd just put her face in the steam water or right above it with a towel, and she'd breathe in the steam. And so I don't think we need a whole big ass fridge in the middle of our backyards to be dunking ourselves in for ice. I mean, what is happening? It's like that, that ice challenge. Remember that when everybody was doing ice plunges for charity? God, I recently came across my iPad where I'd recorded some of those ice bucket challenges. Like I did one and I didn't like the way I looked or something, so I did it again. And like, what the fuck was I doing? And we were like nominating people or something. So you'd pour ice over your head and then you'd be like, I nominate Allison Janney and the Mucinex Booger. And it's like, why? I nominate them to do the ice bucket challenge. And then they'd have to hop on social media and you'd just see, I don't know, all the brands were doing it and the actors were doing it. So Allison Janney would then have to go on Instagram and just dump a bucket of ice water on her head. And we're doing this to Academy Award winners. It's like, I don't think the Academy Award winners, but I don't need to see Nicole Kidman dump a bucket of ice water on her face for charity. Like, let her just donate some money. They're rich. They're rich. Again, rich people got the money. So I don't think it's helping for them to be dunking ice on their heads. So just donate your check and then move on. I don't want to see that. I don't need to see Leonardo DiCaprio dunking a bottle of or a bucket of ice over his head. I mean, let that man rest in between movies. I don't know. Okay, so then they cut to Katie. Ariana's over there. She's had 6 shots of espresso. So she's like me after that steroid shot. She's just running around the room. Do you notice? She's like, what do you got to drink? I just had 6 espresso. What else do you got? I need more caffeine. And she goes into the fridge. And then Katie's, I think, had like an energy drink or something. But Katie's mad at Shishi for tracking her, because it was revealed that last week that Katie had been hooking up with Max after a night out. And Sheena found out about this because she was tracking Max on his phone. She had the location turned on, which again is really crazy, really crazy. And I support it for the television show, but in real life, I think I'd be pissed if I was Katie. But she did fuck Max to get back at Tom, and she didn't care. And again, I don't think Katie should care. Justice for Katie. She should fuck whoever she wants after what she went through with that marriage. Anyway, Ariana also calls out Lala and her healing journey, which was interesting, especially, I think, foreshadowing. There's obviously a lot to come with Lala and Ariana. We know from the reunion they had a big fight. It came out that they had this big blow up or something at the reunion, but we don't know exactly how it happened or what happened. But I'm very curious to see. But it's all simmering, and it's been simmering, and I just know it's going to blow up like crazy, especially at that reunion. Okay, so then Allie and James's house. James, he invites the sommelier, Martin, who's the water sommelier. And it was funny because James was like, oh, yeah, I saw him on the news. But he meant TikTok. I was just imagining, I bet all of these people really, and a lot of us really in general, I think sometimes think we read the news, but we're just seeing social media. And so I've been there, James. Been right there with you sometimes. I'm like, oh yeah, I saw that on the news. It's like, really? No, I was just scrolling TikTok and I'm taking it as fact. And that's really a problem with media in general. And so I'm not here to fix it. I'm just trying to say that journalists, we need you to step it up, and we need everyone to support the journalists, because otherwise we're getting our news from TikTok and we're all going to end up like DJ James Kennedy in a house right near the airport with a water sommelier that we think is helping us. But really, I think they're just wasting money on this man. I know they didn't pay for it, but somebody had to pay for Martin to come on over, right? Like somebody had to fund Martin to show us these waters. And so I worry about it. I worry about it. James says he's a Red Bull and Coca-Cola guy. And it does gross me out to have like the consistency of a Red Bull with the consistency of a Coca-Cola. And I do love Coca-Cola, but the idea of mixing those two, really, my heart would stop. It would. Sheena, though, brings Smirnoff to the water event. That's right. She just brings a bottle of Smirnoff. She's like, it's good with water. It's good. So then Sandoval arrives to the water tasting in Summer Moon's jewelry and that aloe hat and a black tank with painted grippers again. And so then as he's arriving, I'm so distracted by that, I almost didn't notice that Dana, one of our former cast members, also arrived with Katie and Ariana. And it's fascinating to me how they're sort of folding in some of the other cast members, people like Billy Lee and now Dana and cast members that I truly never thought I'd see again. We had a scene with Christina Kelly. And it's like, who's that? It's Christina Kelly. So we never know who's going to pop in here. We never know when we're going to see Vale, Laura Lee. And I am still asking for them to show us Vale and Laura Lee. Just one quick scene like we did with Dana. Like let Vale show up to a party. So then Martin, as he's describing this water, one of them, he says, is dinosaur piss. And he turned it to milk, I think. He said it was like, oh, it's dinosaur piss. And I thought, okay, well, that sounds familiar to me as a Bravo viewer because I've had a lot of piss in my days. And some of these gals who came out with that, you could describe it as dinosaur piss because they're older people. And that's fine with me. I'll drink it till the day is long. And that was the first time actually where I was like, okay, maybe I would try this water. But he turned one of them to like a milky consistency or something. And then he also said the Playboy bunnies, he did the water tasting with them. And they all told him it tasted like cum. Is that right? Did I hear that incorrectly? Anyway, Martin sure had a lot to say, and he said he had a $1,000 bottle of water, and I thought, donate it to charity. We don't need it here. Donate that money to charity. This is a bottle of water for $1,000. Anyway, Martin exits stage left eventually, and then Tom tells the guys he's been dating as this pizza arrives. He was really fascinated by this pizza because that was just, I think it was like maybe a Pizza Hut or Papa John's. It was a Domino's, one of those. It was a chain pizza, which my favorite is the pizza. You know, I love pizza. But I thought like maybe they would have ordered more, I don't know, a different pizza. It just shocked me to see all these cast members, especially after their Scandoval glow up. They're all rich now. And then we got them having a Domino's pizza. It was just surprising. I guess it was of the people. Really made me feel close to the people because most of us would order a Domino's, especially when we're at a house near the airport. You know, you order a Domino's or something, quick pizza. And so I just expected, though, it was throwing me off a little bit. I'm like, what is that pizza pie right there? It's a chain pizza. And it was shocking to me, but they all sat around and ate it. And so it's good. I'm not judging it. But then Tom, the delivery guy comes, and apparently he forgot the ranch. He forgot the ranch, but you know, Stassi, this would have been her leaving the show. Another reason for her to leave the show, because remember, she was obsessed with ranch. Every time Stassi was on screen, she's like, ranch, ranch, Game of Thrones, ranch. What was that? What the fuck was that all about? Every time she was in a confessional, she'd be like, I like ranch. I don't even think it was her fault. I think it was just like every interview soundbite they used of her, it was like, ranch, ranch, ranch. They would just cut to her and be like, I love ranch, Game of Thrones. Murder. It was like three things just over and over again. I have Stassi's interviews, and I know people are calling for Stassi to come back, but if we all recall, you know, that was what we were getting at the end there. And I don't think it was her fault, but every time they've got to her, they would just show us a soundbite. I swear they were just editing it together. I don't know if they owned stock in ranch or whatever. They must have. I think someone on production must have owned Hidden Valley, because every time she's on fucking screen, and now we got another ranch thing. So I definitely believe whoever's in charge of the show has some play in the ranch industrial complex, because there's no reason that a TV show, a reality show, should be so fucking obsessed with ranch dressing. But anyway, the pizza driver forgot to deliver the ranch. And so Sandoval decides to go. He wants to be the hero. So he runs outside for the ranch. And then Ariana's noticing. She's like, he's doing the most. And then Tom's getting mad. And Tom says, he's like, the deck is stacked against me. And he's mad, too, because Ariana talked to T, who was someone who I believe was set up by production to go on a date on camera with Tom, the 25-year-old gal. And so obviously, I think it was actually Tom's fault for bringing the ex to the same place that Ariana was going to be so closely after the Scandoval. But I do feel bad because I do. Look, I hate that I feel bad for Tom. Everything he did was terrible and wrong. I get that. I've called him a demon for weeks now. But this is the first week where I did have a sliver. I was like, you know what? Maybe we need to let off him a little bit, because I don't know what that demon could do at this point. And everybody's being, I don't know, not everyone, but Ariana was like, really let him have it. I felt bad. And she should let him have it. She should, but she's let him have it a lot already. We saw at the reunion last season. And I just want for her, even for her, we want her to just be able to come to peace. And if she's going to be staying on the show with him, I just want her to have peace when she's filming with that demon. And so I'm not saying she's got to be buddy-buddy and be getting smoothies with them the way that Tom Schwartz is getting smoothies with everyone else on the show. But I do think that she needs to just let go of some of that anger, because this can't be every time. And I know this was shortly after Scandoval, so there is some, we have to grant some grace for someone dealing with rage right after a breakup, because I think we'd all be filled with rage.
I had so much rage in me.
I mean, again, I just would like to point out Dorinda Medley. Sometimes she had the rage for no reason, and I understood it. Sometimes we're just filled with rage. I get through points in my life sometimes where I'm just pissed, and I don't have to have a reason always. She's got a reason. So there we go. But she was, I don't know. I don't know. There's all this weird stuff about Katie and Schwartz, though. They got stuck outside with the dog. Graham or Hippie or whatever we're calling the dog now was trying to hump Katie's leg. And Katie's outfit, too. I know she was giving Tom the business about his outfit, Schwartz. But Katie's outfit, Tom said it was not serving. And I don't know. Maybe they both need to make better choices with the clothing. And I'm not someone who knows. But it was shocking to the eye. Both of them, really. Both of them. But I'm happy they seem to be getting in a place where they're kind of being playful. And I do think that Tom has never wanted to have sex with Katie more than now. They're divorced and she slept with a friend. Like, he's looking at her and she's even got a little gleam in her eye. It's the first time this week where I really am starting to realize, like, oh, actually those two like do have something, but I think the something that they have is dependent on them being apart and hating each other. It's sort of like that. There's like that underlying sexual tension, but in they're married, it's just tension. Right? Like there's no sexual tension. But now I'm seeing them look at each other. I'm like, you guys got some emotionally charged stuff going on here. And I'm kind of into it. But I don't want her to get back with him by any means. But I think that if she wanted to have sex with him real quick, like she should do whatever she wants. I think she should do whatever she wants. If it's going to be like a fun life for her, then so be it. Because I'm noticing the way she's got a little gleam in her eye, it makes me think like maybe she should just do it for funsies and then move on. I don't know. Is that wrong of me? Then we have Ariana. She is talking about Anne. Like, so Tom's around this house and they're sitting around this dinner table and they're talking about Anne. And so Tom is running out for the ranch and then he comes back inside and he hears Ariana say something about Anne. And then she also implies, this was the other thing that lost me with Ariana, was the dog murderer comment, which we, I guess, mentioned. But I just felt bad. I thought that was like a little... And then Tom says that Ariana never cleaned out the litter box, but then they have footage of it. I was like, how the fuck do they have footage of it? Did they just go to Ariana's house to film her cleaning out the... Like, think about the logistics of that, because they don't just film these people. The scenes are always set up. So we know that on a Monday, we're going to have Lala and Schwartz go to a smoothie place, right? Like, that's what the production schedule looks like. I don't think they often just, like, go to the houses. We're not watching the Real World. So I was thinking of the logistics of they must have been at her house and then said... We're just going to get some footage of you going around doing things. Or they had to say, we need to get footage of you cleaning. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me how they had footage of her cleaning the litter box, but they do call it out, which is funny. So Tom is like, oh, yeah, man, you don't clean the litter box, man. And then immediately production's like, actually, here's a footage from a week earlier that we somehow captured of her cleaning the litter box. And that's interesting, too. That's interesting, too. But Tom's mad that she called him a dog murderer. And then Ariana, this is when she just starts shouting. And he's like, answer the email. And she's like, stay the fuck away from me. Leave. Get out of here. You know, she's like, first of all, second of all, don't talk to me.
One, don't pick up the phone. You know he's only calling because he's drunk and alone. No.
Second of all,
don't let him in. You will have to kick him out again.
Ariana's new rules. Second of all. I mean, she was pissed. There was a fire of a thousand suns in her voice that moment, just yelling at Tom alongside that Domino's pizza. And everybody was scared shitless. You know, every single cast member, Dana included, Allie, all of them sitting around that table with their piece of pizza. Nobody was even eating the pizza because people were just so shocked by all of this behavior. And you could tell they all kind of pooped their pants. And if Tom Sandoval didn't need to change his undies then, or before that, he certainly did in that moment, because she was just making them all shit their pants, because I saw their faces, Brock, Shishi, Lala, and they were all sitting there. And they're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this is intense. Second of all, I mean, she was pissed. The rage, the fire of a thousand suns was coming out in that moment on camera with the microphone. And it was real. That was reality TV. And that's why that happens on a show like this. That's when we were getting good reality TV, where it feels like they're not acting. This is just coming out and we're just voyeurs as this is coming out. And that's how this whole episode felt to me. Like, maybe they were in setups that they wouldn't have been normally, but as soon as they were all together, this was fireworks to me. This whole episode was just like, this is real. This is real stuff. I'm not feeling bamboozled. I'm not feeling like this is so set up. Again, even though it might be a little set up, it's like all the words and everything that's coming out is real emotion. What else is happening? Lala. Oh my God, you guys. Lala. Lala, Lala, Lala. And I even like Lala this season. But she did have a moment. And I'm sorry, even though I'm Team Ariana, I do have to say Lala in that confessional. When she called out that Ariana, she says, Ariana did a trash bag commercial. She should know how to clean the trash.
Uh-oh. Hello.
Guys, when I heard that, that to me was like one of the confessional sounds by of Lala that actually really landed. And it was definitely really below the belt and mean. But you guys, when she said that, I got the chills. I got the goosebumps. I couldn't believe she said that. I couldn't believe that. And look, we do remember there was a trash bag there. I think they did a Glad sponsorship, which made me buy the Glad bags. So it worked. I went right to the store and I said, get me Glad. I'm glad. I need to get Glad. And so, look, there we go. But I couldn't believe that she called it out in the confessional. Oh, which also, I mean, I think a lot of people have been saying this, but it's like, it feels almost like there is a little bit of a, there's something else going on where Ariana did get all these deals. And although the rest of the cast, I think, also got these sponsorship deals, it does feel like there's like a tinge of jealousy underneath it all, right? Am I the only one reading into that? So I don't know. It was fascinating to me, though. It was her sitting in that confessional just saying, like, she did a trash bag commercial. She knew how to clean her trash. You guys, I gasped. Let's take a break here and come back. We have so much more to discuss. I mean, we didn't even get to the beach yet, you guys. Woo! This was an episode. In the Valley. We're going to talk about the Valley, too, because that episode was giving, too. It was breaking the fourth wall. There was so much crazy stuff. They were fighting about yelling about calm down, and then there were racist accusations. I mean, a lot going on. Let's take a break here. I love you all, and find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And thank you to Acast. We'll be right back. Icons, I got to tell you about Home Chef. Now, you know I love my meal kits, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the super long prep and cook times is really what drew me to Home Chef over the other options. I love Home Chef meals, which are effortless. Even for someone like me, Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Now, whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, or you want speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, or oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or even quick microwavable meals that assemble in just minutes, Home Chef has you and your entire family covered for delicious meals without the hassle. They have so many different options. I had this chicken dish with mozzarella on top the other day that was just so fantastic. But all of the things that I've tried there have been delicious. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. And not only is it super convenient, but it's also really economical. So Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, Home Chef is so fantastic. And for a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/iconic. That's homechef.com/iconic for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/iconic. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow-knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/iconic. And we're back.
One, don't pick up the phone. You know he's only calling because he's drunk and alone.
Second of all,
don't let him in. You will have to kick him out again.
Okay, so then we're in this whole fight at James and Allie's right by the airport. And Sandy calls Schwartz after he leaves because he just steps out. He's mad that she was called a dog murderer, and he calls Tom Schwartz up on the phone. And then he says, this is the rage I dealt with the whole time. The whole time. And then Ariana, meanwhile, says that Tom doesn't take any responsibility. But, and here's the thing, and this is, again, you guys are going to get mad at me, but I think that in terms of like the takeout thing, and I'm sorry to point this out, but I just feel like there should be also some responsibility there too on her end. Am I wrong on that? Am I crazy? And I'm not saying I'm some perfect person, although I do wash my dishes all the time. I have other issues. I have other problems. So look, I'm not perfect. I'm just saying there, everybody has to take a little bit of responsibility. Obviously he fucked up the most, really more than anybody, really. When you think about it, Tom Sandoval really fucked up more than anybody. And I'm not just including this cast. I'm talking about everybody. Okay. So then Ariana says to Tom Schwartz when he comes in, she's like, now I'm mad at you again by association. And I even felt bad for the Shula Schwartz in that moment. Even that demon, I was like, oh man, I even feel bad for that guy. So that's where I'm at. I'm sorry. So after this whole thing, when all the people leave Allie and James's house, we then see them all go back home. We see a quick little clip of Lala with a shake weight. Shake weight. She was just shaking that weight. And then we see Sheena and Brock. They're coaching Summer Moon about them getting a babysitter. And so them leaving. Brock is still pushing for a nanny so that he can kind of figure out his career. Cause he's saying right now, he's basically the stay at home person. So he did run gyms and stuff beforehand. And then Sheena says she wants to uninvite Tom Sandoval to the beach day. And Brock's like, no, well, we have to for the show. I mean, he doesn't say that outright, but basically that's what he says. And then he keeps interrupting Sheena. And then this is when Sheena sort of lays into Brock about Ariana. So she's sticking up for Ariana. So she's like, you know, basically like, fuck off, Brock. Like, this is my girl. And Sheena says that Sandoval has actually been the best thing that's happened to Ariana but she's afraid to approach Ariana because Ariana does have this anger. And we have to remember that this happened shortly after Scandoval. And so she's going to have a lot of rage. But Sheena is afraid to approach her friend. And so I think that's also something that's underlying here is it feels like everybody is tiptoeing around Ariana. And so I think that that might have been where a lot of this tension is coming from because, you know, when a friend breaks up with someone, when it first happens, of course, you tiptoe and you hug and you're there for them and you do everything. And then as time goes on, you start to feel like, okay, we need to get this person out of the funk. And sometimes that needs to happen with a little bit of tough love. And I feel like Sheena is struggling with that of like, well, is this too soon for that tough love? Or that seems to be how she's feeling that Ariana needs to move forward, but she's afraid to sort of broach it, which I feel like is real. That is a real dynamic in a friendship because I know with significant others, friends of mine with significant others, or even myself when I've gone through breakups in the past, there's a certain time where time has passed and you need your friends or yourself to kind of snap out of at least one stage of it. And then also, then we cut to the scene at the house, Tom and Ariana's house with the interior designer who's looking at the furniture to appraise it because she wants to counter offer for the house. And I really would, and this might not be popular, but I would just say, fuck the furniture, especially because you live with that furniture for how many years has that furniture been there? It's at least been a couple of years and they have animals and pets. So I just don't know that the furniture is going to really cost that much that I don't know. I think if this was me and it's hard to put yourself in the position, but I think if it was me, I'd say, fuck all the furniture. I wouldn't even want to look at the furniture because it would remind me of my ex. So I'd say, fuck it all. But if there was something I wanted, I'd be like, Tom, I'm taking the goddamn couch. You cheated on me while I was at my grandmother's funeral. And so I'd really just leave the house with all the furniture I wanted. And I wouldn't even question. I wouldn't praise nothing. I'd say, if you keep the house, I'm taking everything that I fucking want. A penis flute. I don't care what it is that I wanted. I would just take it. I wouldn't think I'd appraise it at all. But for the most part, I would probably just say, fuck the furniture. And I don't know that how much could it be worth, really. I mean, a couch and the coffee table. I know it was probably expensive when you bought it, but then after years and having dogs and the chicken satay skewers all over the furniture, I don't know that it's really worth that much. Am I wrong? I would just say, fuck it. And it also just feels, at a certain point, it just feels unhealthy to hold on to that. And I get the legalities of it and I get the money situation. And I've always said that Tom should have been the first one out of the house and he should have been the one to leave that fucking thing. But after so much time and that person didn't, the demon refused to leave. He was just squatting in my house. I'd run with the couch and the dog. And what was that from Legally Blonde? Like, I'm taking the dogs with the Jennifer Coolidge. That's what I do. I'm taking the dogs. I'm taking the couch or whatever the fuck I want from here. And you can fuck off. Like, that's what I don't know. It feels weird to be going through this appraisal process and lawyers. And I don't like the lawyer situation. Lawyer stuff stresses me out. Like, the idea of having to go back and forth to the lawyer, I get it. But I also just would be like, fuck it all. I don't know. I'd start fresh and I'd probably move to a new state and just start fresh and start dating some person in, like, I don't know, the middle of nowhere. I always think if I broke up with Matt, I'd like move to Hawaii or something, and I'd just fall in love with like an islander and just had like the quietest life on the beach where I'd not talk to anybody else. I would just sit in a hammock all day and like have some hot guy. You know, I think that's really the future for me, at least. Sorry, Matt. Anyway. Okay. So where are we at here? Then, we had this beach day. At this beach day, it's revealed they sort of draw a line in the sand. And so the guys are on one side, and then Katie, Ariana, and the gals are on another side. And Lala doesn't show up yet, but the guys revealed they're going to go to a singles event. And they kind of start to laugh. Even Katie's laughing across the way. She's like, what are you guys talking about? And he's like, oh, we're doing a singles event. Do you want to come? And Katie's even, I'm noticing, like, smiles. She's kind of being playfully flirty with Tom. She's like, they're wanting to fuck each other, you know, for the first time since I've seen them. I don't think I've ever seen this much sexual tension between Tom and Schwartz and Katie, ever. And I've been watching the show since the beginning. Remember when he poured a tequila drink on her on a vacation once? So I've never seen him have and her have this kind of sexual electricity. And now I'm looking at them on the beach as she's drinking her Capri Sun and Thais is sitting there in a Speedo. I'm just looking at the sparks flying between Katie and Schwartz, and I finally am getting it. Because for the longest time, I never understood. I was like, how did she, this gorgeous young woman, how did she fall for this man who's very much a puppy dog? And now I see the two of them together, and I'm seeing the sparks fly. Sparks fly, just like Taylor Swift sang about. Sparks are flying. They're flying right up in the ether. And so I was so distracted by that. Brock's over there. Thais is showing off a Speedo, and I wasn't even looking at that. I didn't even notice Thais in a Speedo. And yet, he was in the background, never looking hotter. Did we talk about Craig and how hot he looked on Summer House and that outfit and the costume party last week? Oh, you guys, I don't know that a man has ever looked hotter. And I hate to praise any man. I hate to do it. But yet, I was watching Craig in that sort of mechanic outfit where he had the grease on his face, and there was one point where he's sitting down and he was talking to somebody else, and he was in the mechanic outfit was unbuttoned all the way down past his navel. Woo!
Savings.
I really like that. Okay, where were we at here? Okay, so Brock and the Speedo, Lala arrives, and Ariana says that Tom ruined her life. Ariana yells at James and Brock. She says Tom's misogynist. He needs men to yell at him. And Lala is like biting her tongue in this moment because she just showed up and she's seeing Ariana's like really intense. And so she's like, you need to calm down, but she's got a fire within, and it's going to pop. It's going to, you know how Lala always says, do you want to get popped? She says, somebody's going to get popped. I just know it. I feel it. Lala's going to pop somebody. I think it's going to be Ariana because I'm noticing she's looking at that woman and she's thinking, I'm going to pop you. You want to get popped? Or you want to get popped? She can pop her. And what else happened at the beach day? Oh, it was funny when Sheena's like, oh yeah, all the guys wanted to fuck me. Like she basically says that. She says that in front of Brock because we're still sort of dealing with the fallout of she making out with Tom Schwartz in Vegas at the Golden Nugget or wherever the fuck they were. And so we're still dealing with that. And so it comes up at beach day and Sheena's like, yeah, everybody wanted to make out with me. Like all of you liked me. And Brock is just sitting there. And I think they all sort of agree. They're like, yeah, well. Yeah, that's true. And then there is this also thing that happens at the beach where Tom says he didn't fire Anne. He just said, take some time off or something. And then they argue about the pets. So Ariana's like, I paid the adoption fees. The pets are mine. And then Tom says, well, okay, if that's the case, then I got the person to get the house. And so if the dogs are yours or the dog and cat are yours, then the house is mine. And you guys, that just said, Ariana got pissed at that. She did not like that. She did not. And they're just yelling at each other on the beach. And I wonder what the other people at this beach thought. I wonder what Allie is thinking because she's sort of new to this group. And so she came on during the era of Scandal. Imagine joining a TV show during this. I mean, your first time on television in this way. And you're dealing with Scandal. And so I know she's an astrologist. So maybe she had some idea that this was all coming. You know, she might have sat down and read all their charts and thought, okay, Scandal's coming. Better sign up for the show to be a good paycheck. You get what I mean? And so she's smart. She's smart. She knew what she was coming into, I think, because of the astrology of it all. But it must have been overwhelming to join the cast of a show during Scandal. So then we end. The show ends on a to be continued. And I think this was the greatest episode of the season, certainly. And it was not good for my girl Ariana, I'm sorry to say, but we do understand that she was dealing with some rage and we're granting that grace, but also I can't help but feel, I felt a little bit bad, at least when I was watching, I felt a little bit bad for Tom Sandoval, which I was not expecting. And I don't actually, you know, I'm kind of pissed actually that they made me feel bad for that man. I'm kind of pissed at them. So you know what? They're on watch. Vanderpump Rules, you're on watch. I'm pissed, and I will keep watching. I will keep watching. Let's talk about the Valley, shall we?
Calm down.
Excuse me?
No, calm down.
This literal sack of twisted Tristan's nipple. Now he keeps attacking her. He wasn't there. He doesn't know what the he's talking about. That's strike two. And those are big strikes.
You do not tell me to calm down.
You're getting too damn aggressive.
You do not tell me. Shut the up. Shut the up.
If you were talking like that, we can go.
Right now. You lied. You walked into my house. Shut the up. You cut the your f***ing ass down right now.
How dare you tell me to calm down? Do not tell me to calm down. Did you just tell me to calm down? Do not tell me to calm down. It was giving that show Hot Wives. I don't know if anyone's ever seen Hot Wives of Orlando. It's like a parody of The Real Housewives with Casey and Danielle from Bitch Sesh, which is now Garbage Sesh. They're fantastic. But if you've never watched Hot Wives of Orlando, it's just so fucking funny. And this was giving that to me. This whole fight, The Valley really is, it almost feels like a parody of Vanderpump Rules. And if you look at it through that lens, it's like really fun to watch. I mean, I do think it's fun and messy in other ways as well. But just same way we look at The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City as sort of a parody of The Real Housewives. If you look at The Valley as a parody of Vanderpump Rules, it is truly so hilarious because it's just a little off. Everything's just a little off. And we opened this week at a farmer's market with some weird ass music. Again, even just the music is off. Like everything about this show is just like slightly off from Vanderpump Rules. It's just like sort of the ugly step cousin of Vanderpump Rules. But it's like when you look at it through that lens, it's really kind of hilarious because we just have Brittany at the farmer's market and she's just ordering lemonade. She's like, three of those. She's doing she always kind of does like, three of those, please. I like that. I like that lemonade. And then Jax is meanwhile with her recounting Guy's Night. Because last week on the show, remember they split up Guy's Night. Jax invited the ex of Kristen. And then Britt was at Girl's Night with the gals. And she is telling Jax about Girl's Night. And she's dubbing Kristen's voice, which is also crazy. So we just hear her talking as Kristen. And then there's something about Michelle being a Republican. And then it got lost in translation of like, somebody's saying she's Republican, so she's racist. And I was honestly so confused about this whole thing because then it was weird to me. It came up, and maybe I missed something, but it came up with Zach and Brittany as they were sitting down. And I felt like they denied it, but then it came out later that Zach did say that, but then Janet said something. I was like so fucking confused by that. It doesn't help that I'm still learning all these names as well, because some of the couples, I'm like, wait, is that person, which one's the one that they're saying is this? And I was a little confused about all of that, but we're trying to learn names. And I will point out that Michelle, who is apparently the one who is, they're all talking about, Michelle, I don't know if you caught this. She's going to be a great reality TV star. And we're not just talking about all the accusations against her, but I'm really focused on her iPhone screen. Did you notice? It was cracked. A cracked iPhone screen is a sign of a good reality TV personality. There's two things. If you want a good reality TV star, two things they need to be doing. Smoking on camera. I'm talking cigarettes. I'm not talking about marijuana on a special occasion at a weed dinner. I'm talking about smoking a cigarette on camera. And a cracked iPhone screen. That's really largely what Vanderpump Rules was built upon. All of those people at the beginning of that show, and I think still to this day, have cracked iPhone screens. And so if I am casting, that's probably what got Michelle on the show. They didn't even have to go through any other. Obviously, the husband's a mess and their relationship's a mess. And Jesse, her husband, seems like a complete asshole demon. And yet, I don't even think they needed to talk about their relationship at all. I don't think they need to talk about what political affiliation she has or any of that other stuff. Producers just saw that cracked ass iPhone screen and they say, we're miking you up, put her on frame. That's probably what got this show greenlit in the first place. I mean, we all thought it was Scandoval, but I think the producers saw Michelle's cracked iPhone screen and said, put her in front of the red light. Let's get her on screen immediately, because it's not so, especially think about going on camera. Think about being on camera. We all would be on our best behavior, and I would be thinking of all that stuff. I'd be like, I got to replace the screen on my iPhone if it's cracked. But a cracked iPhone screen just means it's like a little bit messier of a person. Do you know what I mean? And the same thing with the smoking on camera, because people don't smoke cigarettes on camera. So if somebody's willing to do that on camera, that means they don't give a flying fuck. They don't give a flying fuck about anything. And so those moments when I think back and I see in my head, I remember Kristen Doty used to always be smoking a cig on camera. always smoking a cigarette on camera. And it's like, yeah, that's why she's giving us good reality TV, because she don't give a flying fuck whether or not people are going to be judging her for having a Marlboro light on screen. Some of my best moments with Countess Luann watching her have been having a cigarette when she was talking to Jules at the Berkshires, and she just decided to light up on frame. And so that's a good reality star. Good reality star. We have to take one more quick break. We'll be right back with so much more. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Okay, so Kristen, she's moving to a new apartment, and I'm a little worried that she's moving to a new apartment. I don't like that she's moving so much. She's always got to pay for the movers. Everybody's convincing her to move. Now she's moving in a bigger place, but then the ex convinced her to move out of the house, and so I just don't want her to keep moving. I feel bad for it. But she, there, her and Luke are talking. Luke's still pissed about Jesse twisting her nipple. And that comes up later in the dinner party. And that's really a lot of the underlying tension too, which is fucking insane, is that like one of the gas members twisted the other one's nipple. Oh, I love television. We are in the golden age of TV. We are talking about two cast members. One of them, the man, flipped the other one's nip. And so it's truly shocking. This is reality TV. This is the kind of parody reality TV that I'm interested in. It's so ridiculous and insane and hilarious. And then also all this like, breaking of the fourth wall, because Kristen said they talked shit about each other before filming. And I thought, that's fascinating. We never hear that on the other shows, the other flagship shows. But on The Valley, they're able to take chances because it's so low budget. You know what I mean? So they're able to kind of do these things where we have Kristen on screen talking about before they started filming. Before they started filming, this is what this person's, that person's, this person said. And that's good. That's good TV. And then what else? Jax's Studio City. I've actually heard there's really good bar food at Jax's Studio City. I haven't been there yet. And the idea of eating there is very troubling to me. I mean, I'd almost rather eat that smoothie from Schwartz and Joe that they made at their apartment than I would something at Jax's Studio City. But I've heard everything I've heard from Jax's Studio City. People say the food is good. And so I'm gonna go there one day. I'm sort of scared to go there on like a show night, but I'm going to go there one day and just like kind of get the mama's beer cheese. And my truth is that I love good bar food. I do. I'd rather have good bar food. Just give me like a good slider, or a soft pretzel with Mima's beer cheese and a chicken wing. More than a sit-down meal. I don't need a steak at a restaurant, because I certainly wouldn't be ordering a steak at a place called Jax's Studio City. I'll tell you that right now. But I will order a soft pretzel and some cheese, because that's what you order at a bar. And I love nothing more than that bar food. Point me to a Buffalo Wild Wings and I'm in heaven. I'm in Midwest heaven, because I love that. I love that. So I'm going to go there one day. And I don't even know if Jax owns anything of it. I mean, it was a little unclear to me because he has three partners and says he didn't invest anything. So I'm not sure how involved he is, but he is hiring some waitresses or waiters in a scene. And he says the wife's got to be involved, but then the wife's not there when they're hiring. And so, and also Jax like can't seem to talk to women, which is troubling. If that was my significant other, I maybe think I got to get out of this relationship, because we were seeing him on camera. He's just staring at these women. And I was like, did he just never learn how to talk to women without there being like a sexual underlying nature to the conversation? I feel like in general, people should just learn how to have conversations with people who are of opposite sex or of the sex that they're attracted to without it just being like Jack's in the scene where he's like staring at the bubbies and like just being gross. I don't know. And he's like casting a bartender for what he's looking for. He's like, oh, she's just what I'm looking for. I don't know. I just didn't care for it. I feel like I sounded like Tom Sandoval right there. Tom's, oh, yeah, man. Oh, whatever we're going to get. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Jax. They both sort of talk like that. Tom Sandoval is a little more aggressive with that, but I do feel like the way Jax was talking with these women was just inappropriate. Meanwhile, there's a Brittany and Kristen scene at the churro place, and this is where Brittany tells Kristen that Janet's mad at her. So now there's Kristen finally... Also, this was fascinating to me. Kristen finally opened up. So in this conversation, Kristen finally opens up about being fired from Vanderpump Rules for the racism stuff. And they break the fourth wall in that way, too. And I've been begging them to just address it. Like, I never felt like I needed some big thing. I just felt like it was always the elephant in the room. And it's still sort of the elephant in the room with, I think, Jax and Brittany. But I just felt nuts that we're bringing these people back and there's no real explanation for why everybody was not filming for 2 years or whatever the fuck that was and they were off. And so I just felt like, I felt like a sense of relief. Like finally somebody on camera is just saying what we all know is true. Because again, I just have to point out that although we are people who consume this show and we listen to podcasts about the show, you know, you're all listening to me recap this show. But I think a lot of people that watch these shows don't follow it in that way. They just, I talk to a lot of friends who know that I have this podcast, but don't maybe listen to this podcast. And a lot of them just consume it weekly or when it's on, they'll watch the episode of The Valley or Vanderpump Rules. And I don't think they really understand what happened, because they might not be on social media and so they might not have seen the big announcements or something. And it was never really addressed on the shows. It was like all of a sudden one season we come back and half the cast is gone and nobody fucking said anything. And I just felt like, okay, we need to address it. Okay. So then what else is happening? They call Zach and then Kristen's like, don't throw me under the bus, Zach. And then Zach's like, you're the bus driver, Kristen. Oh, that made me laugh. I felt like he had that in his back pocket or something. And it was just that he like really went hard with that metaphor. He's like, you're the bus driver, Kristen. You are driving the bus in a school zone and you are opening the door of that bus as the bus driver and the kids are coming out of that bus. And it was like, he just went really hard on that bus driver metaphor and it was cracking me up. It was all from like, don't throw me under the bus. You're the bus driver, Kristen. You are driving that bus in a school zone. And then meanwhile, we got Jesse and Michelle at a marriage counselor. These two are fucked, really. I mean, just watching them, any scene, the two of these two, I'm like, you two are fucked because there's no way you're making it past this stage of the relationship because we're seeing you in marriage counseling. We know in real time, I think this is the couple that broke up after filming. But Michelle cries. She says she feels lonely. She says he's too tough on her and they have like a brother-sister dynamic. And then Michelle says she hasn't been sexually attracted to the husband in almost 4 years, you guys. Woo, that's not good. That's not good. That's not good. Obviously, there should be something. I'm not saying that they need to be hopping fucking like rabbits all the time, but I do feel like her saying she hasn't been sexually attracted to her husband, I think that was bad. That was bad, right? Because even if you're not having sex all the time, you should still look at your significant other being like, wow, they're hot. He's hot, right? Or look how handsome he is. Something. Anyway, they never fuck. And so he wants a result. He's like, listen, what do I got to do? And the therapist is like, look, you got to do it with good intentions. You can't be looking for the result of getting fucked. So anyway, they're not going to make it. So who the fuck cares? Then we see Janet and Jason. Janet is ordering McDonald's delivery and they're getting their nursery ready. And again, they're sort of off on their own little show, but I'm liking their own little show that they're on. And I like the idea of ordering McDonald's delivery because as soon as she said that on camera, I was like, I need to order some Big Macs or something. Because the last time I went to McDonald's, I was actually pissed because the ice cream machine is down again. And I went before St. Patrick's Day. And you guys, I was livid because I just wanted the, what's the McFlurry with the, you know, the one they have, the green one with the mint that they do for St. Patrick's Day. And I went, and then I went back again. Obviously, they didn't have the first time, and so I ordered some chicken nuggets and went on my way. And then I went back again shortly thereafter, and they no longer had that one because it was seasonal. And I was like, you know what? Don't fucking lie to me and tell me I can get it. And then I go there and I can't get it. Sometimes you just want the McFlurry. And by the way, I do think they should have a mint Oreo McFlurry in rotation at all times. That shouldn't be a seasonal thing. I need a mint Oreo McFlurry. I'm not someone who lives near a Dairy Queen. That's right, you guys. I don't live near a Dairy Queen. And it's one of the worst things that's ever happened to me. Because sometimes I just want a blizzard. I want a crunch coat ice cream cone. And I can't get that here in Los Angeles. So I rely on McDonald's. And so I'm going to need them to fix their machines. Because I don't have a Dairy Queen. And by the way, DQ, I'm need you to step up and put a place nearby here. Maybe we can get one of the Valley people to open up a DQ in the Valley. Because that should be a next season storyline. Because I live in the Valley and I'm going to need someone to open up a DQ. Because I need a fucking blizzard. You can get a mint Oreo blizzard at a Dairy Queen at all times. And McDonald's, you got 5 days. That's about how many days a year you can get that over there because the machine's not working. And so I just need someone to open up a DQ. And I also need McDonald's to step up and fix those ice cream machines. We need to get some ice cream machine reform. They shouldn't be broken all the time. What are we doing here that they're broken all the time? What's happening there? And I know sometimes I think probably they just don't want to, I don't know, fill it or something. Maybe the people who work there, it's just a pain in the ass. So they're like just telling you it's down. But then, I don't know, there should be some better technology. We've got people on the moon. Some of these cars are like self-fucking-driving now. And you mean tell me we can't have a ice cream machine working at all hours of the operation? It's crazy to me. Anyway, so I hope Jana enjoyed her McDonald's. And we do love, I mean, nothing better than a quarter pounder of cheese to me. Or a double cheeseburger. Some french fries. Okay, so wait, Kristen, Janet says Kristen posted some cryptic quote. I can't speak today. Kristen posted something cryptic on IG. And then Janet says Michelle supported some bill. And so this is where the confusion came on because Janet thought Michelle got swept up in some algorithm of, you know, the don't say gay bill or something. And it is sort of scary on social media. You go online sometimes or I don't know. Everyone's kind of like siloed off into their own things. And now with these algorithms, it's just feeding you things. So I feel very blessed actually when I hop on my algorithms, it's just showing me people who live in their vans for fun. And I don't know, Bravo stuff. But other people, you never know what people's feeds are showing them. And it is scary because you like one thing, or sometimes now even you say, because all the robots are in our house. So you say something, and I swear the robots pick it up. And then all of a sudden you hop on your Amazon, and you see something you were talking about in the house. And it's like, how the fuck did they know that I wanted that? Or you scroll on Instagram, and all of a sudden you were talking about something. I was just telling a friend, I went to my favorite place, Home Goods. And Home Goods now has got all this owl stuff. And I was talking about the owl stuff. And then a friend was like, yeah, have you noticed they also got a lot of mushroom decor? And I love the owl decor. I might not like that forever, but right now I'm like really into the owl stuff about an owl cookie jar that reminded me of my grandma's cookie jar growing up. Anyway, I was talking to my friend about it. And we were talking about how they got all these new mushroom decor as well. And as soon as I hopped on Instagram, all of a sudden I was scrolling and I saw a picture of like a mushroom candle thing. And I've never talked about it in my whole life until this moment. And then I immediately hop on social media. So that's what's happening to all of us. And so we're all fucked. We're all fucked in the future. I mean, it's true. We're all fucked. If this is what's happening in 2024, what is it going to look like in 2027? Who knows? Buckle up, Buttercup, because it's not something we're in for a wild ride. In for a wild ride because all these robots are listening to us, the algorithms are listening to us, and we're all fucked. And so you accidentally get swept up into something, and then suddenly you're like Michelle. And so Janet says that would happen. Michelle all of a sudden was saying, she was saying gay because she was confused about the don't say gay bill. And so she was not saying gay. I don't know what the bill exactly, how she read it. But there was a problem with something saying gay. And so who knows if Michelle's saying gay or not saying gay, but she got swept up in the algorithm and she's fucked. Moving on, Jesse and Michelle. So then we have everybody over for this dinner night and they keep saying it's a sophisticated night. And I felt like I was watching Selling Sunset because this was not a Valley house. This was not a Valley house. I thought Chriselle was going to pop out from across the way and try to sell somebody on this in an insane outfit. You know, I thought Chelsea or one of the other Selling Sunset realtors was just going to pop on screen and in a ridiculous outfit, much like they do over on Selling Sunset, which, by the way, I need a new season of Selling the OC or Selling Sunset. Like, I'm desperate for realtors because I'm not watching that Mauricio one. I'm desperate for some hot realtors to sell me some stuff on Netflix. So please get with it. Anyway, so they have this night and it's a Capri night. We also learned that Jasmine has a girlfriend who she comes, and I would like to learn more about Jasmine, who I guess was like in Bachelor World or something, people said. Anyway, there's Luke is sitting down. And he's like, I'm just really hoping for peace. And I thought, Luke, you're in the wrong show. You're on the wrong fucking show because you're not getting peace. You're never going to know peace again as long as these camera crews are filming you because you don't go on Bravo for peace. So you better sit tight, little bear, and you better figure out something else, some other way to get through this because you're in the wrong place if you're hoping for peace. And then what else? Jax, when he arrived, cause it was a Capri night, he's just like, he was doing a lot of dad jokes. He's like, this is as close to Italy as you're getting, Brittany. And then he's like, this is better than the Olive Garden. And he was just being very aggressive. And Britney should have divorced him right then and there because he said, this is as close to Italy as you're getting.
Rotten hill.
I want a divorce. You. You.
She should have grabbed Cruz and Sherry with her frosted lip and gotten right on a plane to Italy in that moment and said, I want a divorce. Because you don't say that to your significant other. Holding it overhead. This is as close to Italy as you're getting. I was like, Jax, stop acting like you're on According to Jim. That's my big problem with Jackson. That's how he was on Vanderpump Rules towards the end there. He's always acting like he's on According to Jim. Remember from the early 2000s, like one of those ABC sitcoms where it's like the schlubby husband is always fucking up and then the wife. And I just hate those roles. I hate those roles that they're playing. And he was doing it again. And then Janet confronts Kristen and they talk about all this, these racism accusations, which is surprising on reality TV. And I think this is why The Valley is giving so much, because it just is feeling real. And they're, it just feels real. And Kristen ultimately apologized to Michelle, but then Luke confronts Jesse because he's still mad about the twisted nip. And then one of them tells the other one to calm down. And then, look, I hate Jesse. I do hate that man. And I like that Luke was sticking up for Kristen. And then what else is going on? And then Jesse put, the thing that I really hated about Jesse is he put a hand up as Michelle was trying to talk. And meanwhile, this whole fucking thing's about Michelle. And then Jesse's like not letting Michelle talk. And then Michelle goes to try to say something and Jesse like puts his hand up in his face. Remember back in the day we used to say, talk to the hand because face don't want to understand, or talk to the hand because face don't want to listen. Do you remember that? In sixth grade, that was like a common saying for me. That was like a big thing in my school. It was like, talk to the hand because the face don't want to listen. We were all saying that. And so he said that to her, though. But that's something you say in middle school. Like, as a grown person, I would never put my hand in someone's face and say, don't talk. And then the episode ends. It's drama to be continued. And Kristen says, at the end of the episode, she talks about being canceled. And she says it was the hardest time in her life. And she says she doesn't want her life to fall apart again. You guys, it's so interesting to me. I thought this was just a fan-fucking-tastic week of television on Vanderpump Rules and The Valley. I mean, really insane stuff, but we're getting some good stuff. And again, Summer House is good right now, too. So if you're not watching that, go pop on in, because we're getting some good stuff on Summer House, too. So thank you, Bravo gods. Every time something, we think we're having bad time on Bravo, or we think we need something good. We get through a flop season and we think, uh-oh, Bravo's done. And then they deliver something like this. I was ready to write off Vanderpump Rules again. After those 6-7 episodes of floppage, I was like, we're done. And I saw the trailer for The Valley. I thought, oh, fuck this show. And now I think these are the greatest shows on television. So thank you so much. I love you all so much for listening. Find me again on social media. Get my books, everythingiconic.store. We have merch available. Again, everythingiconic.store. If you go to that website, we have temporary tattoos. You get signed copies of my books or t-shirts. We even have t-shirts at larger sizes. So we even have some shirts available in double, triple XL. There are limited amounts, but everythingiconic.store. And let's do our cheesy little cool down, because we haven't done this in a while. And I think we should do it. So yes, it's cheesy, but let's take a deep breath in. Deep breath in, baby. Hold it. Breathe out. As you go about your day, your week, your month, and your year, just try to take some deep breaths and enjoy the shows. Enjoy that Bravo's given us some good TV. And I love you all so much. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week.